The Lord is good. Today, we are in the hour of power. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get into the scriptures and we're going to get into prayer. Our theme scripture, as always, is Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. So that's where we will start again, but there's more. There's more to come this morning. Yes, Leviticus chapter 12, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. So let the priests of the Lord, let them burn offering. Bible did say that he has made all of us kings and priests. So let's bring the wood in here this morning. We'll start with a story here in Genesis chapter 32. And let me see if your prayer, if your prayer life can move God. Can you do some things with your prayer? Do you have that power with God this morning? Let's see if we can walk the stones of fire together this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Hallelujah. This is a story that probably is known to most, so we're just going to read through it very quickly. We won't spend a whole lot of time in it, but there are some things we want to bring out. But we start here in verse 24 of Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That was the man that wrestled with Jacob. We'll find out later that he was the angel of the Lord. But Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And Jacob said, "My name is Jacob." And so he said unto him, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but listen, but Israel, for as a prince," that means a prince with God, "for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." My goodness, so Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he answered, "Wherefore is it that thou seekest after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." My. That's a lesson for every one of us. When you get a hold of God, don't turn loose until you get a blessing. But many times we can't do that. Or we don't do that. We can do it. It's just that we don't do it. Many times we run off. Just say one quick little prayer over here and run off. Well, there's a time for everything. There's a time for the quick little prayer. There's a time for even just the prayer in your mind. But there is a time also to get in with God. Yes, there's a time to double down. There's a time to hold on to God and say, "I'm not turning loose until I get the blessing." That's right. And God is so good. God is so good. He will give you the grace to wrestle with him and to prevail. That's the kind of God he is. God wants you to prevail when you wrestle with him. He wants you to win. He wants you to win. Come on in. And let's plead your cause together. Declare it again, that thou mightest be justified. Show me what you got. Sometimes, Lord, and sometimes that's why some of our prayers are not answered immediately, when we start praying, because the Lord wants to see what you got. whether you are going to hang in there, you know, or you're going to run off, you know, and, you know, to get the real true blessings from God, you know, the deep calls unto the deep. The Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. But it says the same measure that you meet is what shall be given unto you again. You know, you can't, these are the principles in the word of God. You know, even he says, look, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. You know, you give only a few minutes to God, well, that's all you're going to get. But if you give, you know, give him all you got. If you sow bountifully, I'm not talking about money here today, so don't let anybody think I'm talking about that. I'm not. You know, I'm talking about prayer. If you sow your time in prayer, you know, bountifully, you will also get bountifully. You know, we see many examples in the scriptures, you know. So, yes, it was God that met with Jacob in a different form. And God can appear in different forms like that. You know, he can take on the, he did, you know. He can, he took on human form, you know, many times, you know, like that. Or coming the angel of the Lord, you know, and so forth. You know, Theophany, he just comes like that. You know, and when you can get in there with God, when you can get in with him like that, are you willing to go the distance with God in prayer? That's the question here today. You know, the only way true revival can come, either to in a person's heart or a group, you know, is through travailing prayer. Travailing prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 12, he said, the kingdom of God from the days of John the Baptist until now. The kingdom of God is suffering violence and the violent take it by force. What in the world does that mean? I mean, people have, you know, used that scripture to say so many different things. Well, I tell you this right now. You know, we're talking about violence in prayer. We're talking about, you know, determination, not turning loose. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. You know, the Lord said many things there to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to give up, not to faint, not to turn it loose. You know, we need to get in there and pray. You know, Jesus one time in Luke chapter 22, and this is the master himself, Luke chapter 22 verses 41 to 44, he was praying until blood was coming out of his brows, I mean his forehead, as though they were sweat. You know, drops of sweat coming out of his head, but it was blood. He prayed. He travailed in prayer. Now, what was it that he was travailing about? You and me. Because the Bible said, Jesus said it himself. He said it was a pearl of great price. And you got to go, this, you got to go do everything you got to get it. And so he did everything. He went for that pearl and he needed to get it. You know, he had to get it, had to wrestle it out of the hands of the devil, because the devil sat pretty. He said, I sit like a king. I sit like a queen. I own everything. All these things are mine, you know, and I'll give them to you if you just worship and, you know, do this and that. You know, he sat over everything. He usurped the authority that God wanted God's people to have. In the beginning, God made man and said, let them be in our image. And after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And but we lost that because of disobedience. And so the devil got in there and stole it. You know, and from that time, he had been living like a king of terror. You know, and Jesus, you know, he wrestled that out of his hands. Oh, my goodness. There was blood coming out of his forehead like drop of sweat. You know, but it was blood. Luke 22, let me just read it to you real quickly in case you don't have your Bible and you're wondering, well, is there, is that really in the Bible? Of course it is. You know, Luke 22, and let's look at verse 41. You know, Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. You know, this was the hour he was going to go into that, you know, in that garden of Gethsemane, the disciples would be sleeping. They wouldn't pray. And he told them multiple times, you know, pray. Can't you just pray with me for an hour? You know, of course they didn't pray. And now you saw what happened to them when they didn't pray. And that's what happened to people when they didn't pray, when they don't pray. You know, they fall into temptation. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he prayed. And, you know, he went away and he prayed. And he being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Not even small drops. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I mean, can you pray like that? You know, can you pray until blood's coming out of your forehead like sweat? You know, I mean, that's what Jesus did. He wrestled in prayer and he prevailed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why in the book of Revelation chapter 5, when John, he looked and he saw, this was the book of redemption. That book sealed with seven seals. Nobody was found anywhere to open the book, you know, loose the seals and look thereon. You know, they couldn't do it. And he began to cry, you know, and then one of the angels stepped up to him and said, don't weep. Yeah, we got a champion here. He can do it. He can do it too. You know, and he looked. He said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. What does it mean to prevail? Well, that's when he was all those sweat of blood and everything was coming out of his head. He prayed it through. He wouldn't let loose. You know, many hours late, you know, late in the night, early in the morning, he would be on the top of the mountain by himself. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to loose the seals. Hallelujah. And so he stepped up. But when John looked, he turned around to look. It was a bloody lamb that he saw. That was all the blood covered in the lamb. You know, my goodness. It wasn't even a lion, you know, that he thought. But that's how you get it. You know, that's how you do it. You know, that's exactly how Jesus showed us how it is done. And so he prevailed. And when he prevailed, he stepped up to the plate. He took that book and there was nobody else. I could get that book out of his hands. Glory to God. He's called the Mighty Warrior. And in Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4, you see him appear. He put the book up. He put his foot, left foot upon the earth, right foot upon the sea. He lifted up his hand to heaven and said, it is done. Time no more. It's over. Glory to God. He wrestled. He got it all. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can you wrestle? Do you have this kind of power? Even, you know, the grave couldn't hold Jesus. You know, he told them, he predicted it ahead of time. Put this body down and in 3 days, I will raise it again. That's right. That's your God right there. I will raise it again in 3 days. I will come out of there. Oh my goodness. And through prevailing prayer, he prayed ahead for all those things. And he prevailed. Now, can we prevail in prayer? Let's take a look at the psalmist himself. You know, I love the story. I love the book of Psalms. It depicts a lot of things. We can learn a lot from this man, David, and all the writers of the book of Psalms. You know, Asaph and the rest of them. You know, but, you know, here's what the psalmist said. This is a psalm of David. Lord, Psalm 15, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. My goodness. You know, can you do it? You know, you got to get that backbiting out of your tongue, though. You know. You can't use that tongue in prayer and also the same tongue in backbiting. That's not going to work. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, can you enter into the tabernacle? Can you dwell in his holy presence? Well, you do it through prevailing prayer. You know, the kind of power we want to see, you know, what kind of power David had in prayer. Let's take a look at 2 Samuel. You know, this was a man Now, and there are different kinds of prayers, folks. There is a prayer, and then there is a prayer, and then there is a prayer, you know. So, different kinds of prayers, you know. Some people can pray, and then some people can pray, and then some people can pray, you know. But when you know how to walk his praise, get in with the praises of God. Oh my goodness. You know, it goes beyond everything. So let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 22 and see how David did it. You know, this whole chapter, you can read about it. You know, when David, he delivered this to the Lord and said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You know, that's the way to do it. You come out and you say, you know, you begin to, you know, just lift him up. You begin to tell him how great he is. Not that he doesn't already know it, but you begin to say, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and he's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my refuge. He's my savior. You saved me from violence. I mean, David, he knew how to get in there and pump the praises of God into the ears of God. You know, I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, when the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, when the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death all around me, in my distress. That's right. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of James, if any man is sad, if any man is distressed, if any man, you know, is in torment, if any man is afflicted, let him pray. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried to my God, and he did hear me. That's right. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Wow, let's see. Let's see the effect that David's prayer had on God. And the question today is this: can your prayer do this? When David prayed, and when David called upon the Lord, the Bible says that his prayer entered into the eyes of the Lord, I mean ears of the Lord. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and they shook because God was wroth on behalf of David. There went out a smoke out of God's nostrils. There was a fire. Now, this is called prayer fire. Can your prayer generate fire? That's right. Fire out of the mouth of God came and kindled like coals of fire. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and he came down. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon the cherub and did fly, and he was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds. Through the brightness before he were coals of fire kindled. It's always fire. Fire when David prayed. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. He sent out his arrows. He scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. My goodness. The channels of sea appeared. The Lord split the seas. Foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. Oh my goodness. Now, can you pray and make God do all these things? You know, because David was in distress, God did all these things. Can you do it? You know, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. My goodness. And from them that hated me, who are too strong for me. Glory to God. You know, the Lord, you know, all these people that were preventing me in the day of my calamity, all your enemies that are preventing God's assignment and God's purpose in your life from being fulfilled. How do you break through? It's in prayer. The Lord can be your stay, just as it was David's stay. He said, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Why? Because David knew how to walk the praise of God. Oh my, nobody like him in that Bible. You know, he knew how to make the praises of God glorious. Now, that's the other kind of prayer. You know, when you put your faith and you put it together with praise, it's called, I call it a dynamic duo. of power. You know, if you know how to walk that praise and you know how to pray, you know, and I'm going to tell you some secrets here this morning. I say it all the time. The best way to pray, you know, of course, you know, after you enter into his presence with thanksgiving, is to repeat his word. That's it. Just repeat his word and make it about him getting the glory. That's exactly right. Make it about him getting the glory, not about you, you know, but make it about him getting the glory. This is a story that we see in Isaiah. We begin to read how Sennacherib came, you know, to ridicule them, to torment them, to say everything, you know, against them and to rail against them. And he said, you know, he said and said, look, don't even think that, you know, Hezekiah is going to, deliver you from my hands. No, he cannot deliver you from my hands. You know, you can read all about it in Isaiah chapter 36. You know, Rabshakeh, who came from Sennacherib, said to, you know, all the people, including the warriors that were on the walls and everything, you know, what is this confidence that in which you trust? You know, who do you think is going to deliver you? Do you think the God of Hezekiah is going to deliver you? Have not all the other nations who trust in their gods been destroyed by us and our kings? Would we not throw their gods into the fire? You know, now turn to me and give me pledges and so forth. And I will give you horses, 2,000 of them or whatever, if you can yourself ride them. You know, don't think that the Lord is going to deliver you. None of those people delivered. And they will not, the Lord will not deliver you. And I begin to chide them and so forth. You know, so don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. You know, don't hearken to Hezekiah. You know, none of them deliver themselves from our hands. The gods of all those nations, we threw them into the fire. Where are the gods of Hamath? Where are the gods of Arpad? He began to tell them, you know, didn't we throw them? You know, so he did all these things and that was fine. So you know, Hezekiah, he turned around and he made it God's fight. This is what Hezekiah said in Hezekiah chapter 37. The other one was in the previous chapter. And in 37, he said, O Lord God of hosts, starting at verse 16, thou that dwellest between the cherubims. Now, notice this. You know, he's going to come to God with great praise. He's going to tell God how great he is. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art that God. Even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made that. That's the same way that David, you know, his great-grandfather used to pray, you know. Thou art the one that made the heaven and the earth, even thine alone. Now, incline thine ear, he said, O Lord, and open your eyes, and O Lord, and see all the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent. Now, not to distress us. He didn't say that he has sent to distress us. Which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, that's how you get God to stand up on your behalf. You make the issue God's issue. You make it about God. You make it God's fight. You know, it's not about you now. I mean, it's about God. And so Hezekiah, he knew how to do it. He said, look, you know, this man has come to reproach the living God of a truth. You know, they have wasted all the nations. They've turned upside down all the other countries. They've cast their gods into the fire because they were no gods. But they were the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, therefore they destroy them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, listen to this. Save us from his hands. Not that we should not perish. Well, that's a good prayer. Save us that we perish not. That would have been good. You know, Lord, save us that we perish not. Save us that he destroy not our cities. Save us that he destroy not our wives and our children. Save us, O Lord, from his hand, you know, so that we will not be diminished. save us, Lord, because, you know, this and that. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways that he could have prayed that prayer. Save us, O Lord, that we be not destroyed from the hand of this oppressor. He could have prayed that prayer. And that would have been a great prayer. But that's not how he prayed. He said, save us from his hand, O Lord, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now, that's the kind of prayer that gets some power with God. That's a secret we put into your hands today. You know, you want God to do something really great, make it about God's fight. You know, turn it around and make it to in his ears to how he can get him some renown and how can get himself some glory. You know, David did the same thing when he went up against Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17 and so forth, everyone said, you know, Goliath has come to defy the armies of Israel. David said, no, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. He approached the fight in a different way, you know. And so when you approach the fight in a way that, you know, you stir God up to be jealous for his name. That's right. Let God be jealous. Oh, Lord, God, be jealous for thy name. I have stood in the midst of these people. You know, Ezra, he did the same thing. You know, he had bragged that the Lord God, you know, will protect them. You know, so when it was time and they were in trouble, he said, look, I'm not going to go ask for soldiers because I've already bragged that the Lord is going to protect us. You know, so, you know, these people did those things. You know, when you, if your life is being one that's been talking about the Lord and so forth like that, you know, and people looking at you and all that. When you are in distress, don't go hide your head. Don't go bury your head somewhere. The Lord will fight for you, but you must make it about his fight. You must say, Lord God Almighty, you are the God, the very God. Thou alone indeed are the God. You are the one, O Lord, that has the power to do and undo. You begin to tell him your mighty hand, your right hand is stretched out for victory all the time. And you begin to remind him of the great things that he has done in your life before. And you tell him how great his name is, how his name throughout all the earth is revered. I mean, you know, and look, Lord, there is none like you that can save with a right hand, that can save with power like you. Now, oh Lord, I have stood, I have mentioned your name, I have proclaimed your name. And now people say, where is your God? Let the Lord now arise and let his name be known. Let him be known that he's a God that can deliver. Ooh. When you pray that kind of prayer, when you make it about God's fight, God is going to stand up on your behalf. And he's going to do something great. Because now you're not just saying, you know, praying the prayer about yourself. It's not just about you and so forth. It's about his name. It's about him getting the glory. That's the secret. That's the one that has real power with God. Glory to God. Now, let's look at some other things that your prayer may be able to do if you know how to do it. You know, Job chapter 38. Let's look at verses 31 to 35. You know, now Job, just about everybody knows his story, you know, but there are some secrets that we can find in when God was challenging him. So let's look at Job chapter 38 and let's pick it up at verse 31. You should actually read that whole chapter. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, all the things that God was challenging Job about, you know, whether Job has knowledge of those things. But here are some secrets. You know, Job, the Lord said to him, canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Now, Pleiades is a constellation out there. You know, can you do it? You know, do you know how to do it? Can you lose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Maseroth in his season? I mean, can you guard Arcturus with his sons? I mean, these are constellations out there. And the Lord is saying this, and this is the most powerful part of it. In verse 33, he said, do you know, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? You know, and so when you read between the lines and the Lord opens your eyes to see these things, by God challenging Job about these things, we actually understand that there are ordinances in heaven, and the ordinances of heaven have dominion on the earth. And if you know how to do it, instead of being down here, you'll be dealing with the ordinances of heaven. When you deal with the ordinances of heaven, when you make things snap, things, you know, when things go forth in the heavens, the effect we see upon the earth, That's what the Lord is saying here. If you can set the dominion, you know, the ordinances of heaven, you know, how God operates, there's nothing that happens in heaven except there's an unction that goes out of the throne. And when that unction goes out, it creates a ripple effect. And if you can make that happen, if you can make God stand up, if you can make God blast with his nostrils, if you can make God do all of these things, if you can make God say to his, you know, the super angels and say, you go down here. That's right. You go down there and make sure Thelma, my daughter, make sure Sharonda, my daughter, make sure Pearl, my daughter, gets what they are praying about. You go down there and see to it. When you can do that, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And how do you do it? You do it because you have known the secret of power with God. You know, when you know it, like we're discussing this way today, now you can go down there. You can say, the Lord has said to those angels, go make sure that what she's praying about, you know, go see to it. Make sure it's done, you know. And do you have the power to set the dominion of the ordinances of heaven upon the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of water may cover you? Absolutely. If you know how to do it, Jesus said it himself. Say to the mountain, do all of these things. If you don't doubt it, but you believe it in your heart, it will come to pass. If you want waters, abundance of waters to come, you know, and you know how to walk his praise, and you have this kind of clout and power with God, absolutely, you can do it. Can you call forth lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. Now, these things were things that were reserved to God, you know, that nobody even knew about. And he began to, you know, to challenge Job about it, you know. But since God let out the secret out of the bag that these things can actually be done, we now know that you can actually have power with God to speak into the heavens and cause a ripple effect upon the earth. That's how things get done. Now, who do you speak to in the heavens? Not angels, not God. You know, God, Jesus said it all the time. He said, when you pray, say, our heavenly Father. We direct our prayer to God. God is the one that we direct our prayer to, you know. But if you have boldness, the Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find what? Grace to help in the time of need. Obtain mercy. Find grace to help in the time of need. Now, Jesus, one time he told a story, you know, and I'm going to tell you another thing just before we pray. There is another kind of power in prayer. You know, I mean, I talk about people pray and people pray and then people pray. You know, here's another one. You know, it's not even just, you know, a moment of prayer. It's a lifestyle, a lifestyle of power with God. I'm going to show you another story here in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, this same story is in Mark chapter 2 as well. You know, a different, you know, another version of the same rendition, or a different rendition of the same story. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, you know, so some stuff's happening here. And they are going to, you know, accuse Jesus and his disciples and so on. So on that day, it was a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, you know, Jesus went through the corn and his disciples were hungry and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Don't you think that Jesus knew it was the Sabbath day? Of course. You know, and, you know, people are so stuck with all their religious rules and things like that. Many times Jesus poked holes in all those things. You know, here's one that is going to poke holes in now, you know. This whole, oh, it's the Sabbath day, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do that. You know, so when the Pharisees saw it, we have modern day Pharisees too now, folks. They said, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day. Why do you do this? You know, not only that, many times they accuse Jesus, you know, of doing other things now. They're accusing his disciples here. They accuse Jesus of healing people on the Sabbath day. You know, Jesus healed the man whose hand was withdrawn in John chapter 9, you know, and many other people like that, that Jesus would heal, you know, when he healed them on the Sabbath day, you know, the Pharisees didn't like it at all, you know, and they said, look, you know, you have so many days of the week to be healed. Be healed. Come on those days for prayer and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day to be healed. I mean, the wickedness that was in their hearts, you know, they were so twisted around what they thought was, you know, the commandments. So back to this story in Matthew chapter 12. So when they began to say that, well, Jesus said, have you not read? Oh my goodness. Every time I read this testimony that Jesus gave here, you know, I love it. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, in another place to say in the days of the priest, you know, and he would tell them, Abiathar the priest and so forth. You know, how he entered into the house of God and did take the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. And have you not read? He said, haven't you read that? Wow. You know, how did David have the kind of clout to do that and God didn't strike him down? Why not? You know, why not? Read the same thing in Mark chapter 2. You know, I'm going to read it from verse 25. And Jesus said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and he was hungry? He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests. And he gave also to them which were with him, and God did not strike him down. Have you not read that? My goodness. You know, David understood, you know, this. He understood this. David had the kind of power. You know, there was a man one time, Uzzah, who was trying to help, you know, the ark when the ark shook. And, you know, and he helped, you know, from the oxen to help it. And God struck him down. But yet this man, David, he pierced the veil. That's right. The high priest said to him, you know, you can't go in there. You can't eat any of that. You know, I don't have any common bread here. And David said, it is indeed common bread. Hallelujah. It is common bread. You know, don't call it sanctified bread. It's common bread. Give it to me already. Glory to God. And David took it. Not only did he take it, he ate it. He gave it to all of his followers and they ate it. And this was a law that said, you cannot do that. You can't go in there. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as you can't do that with God. You know, Mark 9 and 23, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible. Even when they say, you can't do that, it's not for you and so forth. Well, if you have the faith and you know how to work his praise, especially, glory to God, then you can do it. You can go into places where people said you can't go. The places where tradition, you know, in Matthew chapter 15, here's another story before we begin to pray. This story of this Greek woman, Syrophoenician woman, you know, whatever you want to call it, a woman of Cana, you know, that Jesus cried after Jesus and so forth. And Jesus said, no, you know, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And notice this, you know, here is another dimension of power with God in prayer. Now, prayer is when you're asking God for something. So this woman is asking Jesus for something, right? So that's prayer. He said, Lord, you know, help me and so forth. You know, so that's prayer. Let's read it in Matthew chapter 15, you know, and you begin to talk to her, you know, from verse 22. So, say, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Help me, Lord. And so she's praying, you know, but the Lord answered her not a word. So the disciples came and besought her and said, you know, besought him, send her away. She's bothering us. You know, and Jesus answered and said, look, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, you know, I can't deal with you because you are from Canaan. But I, you know, right this time right now, I'm only sent to the house of Israel. And the woman said, Lord, help me. You know, she came and worshipped him. Lord, help me. You know, help me. So Jesus said, well, look, I cannot take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Everything that Jesus said was enough to discourage this woman to send her back. And the Lord was doing this for a reason, for you and me today, so that we know that we can persist in prayer, we can pierce the veil and all of these veils of tradition and everything that say you can't do this. Not, you know, in this case, even Jesus was saying, it's not yet time. But if you know how to get your prayer just right, time or no time, you can pierce, this woman pierced the veil of time. Now remember, David pierced the veil of the separation of the priests, you know, and the common people. If, you know, only the priests can do this, you can go in there. David pierced that veil. Now this woman now, she's going to pierce the veil of time, you know, where they said, oh, even Jesus himself said, I can't do it. It's not your time. And the woman said, look, dog or no dog, I can still eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus said, my goodness, oh woman, great is thy faith. Now, see, that's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of power we got. You will stop at nothing. You know, don't let tradition or anything and so forth tell you can't get what you're asking from God. Pierce the veil, whatever it is. Go beyond that. And this woman went beyond and she got what she needed. We've talked about so many things here. You know, if you have the power to enter into the veil, to get the hidden manna, even in ministry, Revelation 2 and 17, you know, Jesus said, look, you know, can you go, you know, I mean, I have the, you know, I will give you, you know, power, you know, to get hidden manna. What is hidden manna? Why is it hidden? Why is everybody not getting it? You know, so, you know, it is he that hath an ear, he said, look, you know, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Why is this manna hidden? Why doesn't just everybody have it? You know, well, you know, it comes from people who are willing to spend time, who can ascend into the glories of God in heaven and communicate the same. That's hidden manna. You got to be able to go in there and persist and stand the test in prayer. Don't run off and don't give up. Don't give up and don't give in. Hallelujah. That's how you get power with God in prayer. Now, David had this kind of power. Various people had this kind of power, as we have shown in the Bible. But what about you? You know, and what about me? I mean, are we just going to, when we ask something from God, just turn loose and say, well, you know, I can't do that. Remember, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to go into prayers. We are going to go into prayers. And what is the kind of prayer that you will pray this morning that will make God stand up and do something on your behalf? And what is the kind of prayer that you incorporate into your life that will make you to have this kind of walk with God? Enoch walked with God. David and all these people, they had power with God. They have power to do, to ask God to lift up their voice and cause God to stand up and cause thunders and lightnings and, you know, discomfit their enemies and so forth. Hezekiah had the power with God to make God do what he wanted in one night. After Hezekiah's prayer, one night, 185,000 of their enemies were destroyed. Well, you have that kind of power with God. Yeah, sure. You know, if you know how to do it just right, like we've showed this morning. So glory to God. I want to welcome everybody that's in the room this morning. God bless you, Leonard and Dana and Samantha and Yolanda. God bless you, Makolo and Renee. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Sister Grace. Thank you, Pearl. Thank you, Sister Thelma and Sharonda. God bless you all. Now, we are going to begin to pray. I want you to use the chat room. That's right. I'm going to look over the chat room, see somebody posted something there. That's right. Post in the chat room impact of this upon you, and let's go into prayer. Now, the last thing you want to do, the last thing you want to do is go away from this and say, oh, that was a wonderful room. No. What does that mean? You know, we don't want it to be a wonderful room. We want it to be an impact in our lives, a life-changing effect forever. You know, not just a one-time thing. You know, I can tell you, and I've taught this in some of my rooms in the past, that all of the sons of Adam until Enoch, they heard the same stories that Enoch heard about what happened in the garden. Seven generations until Enoch. But every last one of them probably said, and that's the untold story in Genesis. You know, Lord made me understand this one time, showed it to me. They all probably just said, oh, grandpa, or grandpa, or grandpa, or this and that. Oh, that's a wonderful story. You know? And they just went away. Made no impact in their lives. You know? And he would tell how, you know, how he had power with God. And he made no impact in their lives. So he just went away. But one man came along, his name was Enoch. And then, you know, Adam would maybe, you know, say, hey, sit over here on my knees. Stay down here. I'll tell you some stories. And tell him the same stories. And this man would say, what? You mean you had power with God like that? I mean, you could talk to the animals. You could command them and they obeyed you. I mean, you could go under the sea and do all these things, the fish and everything else. You talk to them. You did these things. You walk with God. I'm going in there. Adam says, son, you cannot go in there. You cannot. That place is locked up. The cherubims are there with the flaming sword of fire. And they say, why? I say, well, you know, and Adam would tell him the story. Say, well, I'm going in there. And the son, you can't do it. You can't do it. And so Enoch would say, well, if I can't get in there, whatever is in there, I'm going to get it somehow. He said, I'm going in there, or what's in there is coming to me. And he had a pursuit. So it was a hunger. He didn't just say, oh, that was a wonderful story. You know, and the next thing we know, he pursued after God. He would not be denied. He would not turn loose. And the more he pursued, the more God drew him in. The more he pursued, the more God drew him in. The more he was pursuing, the more he was changed. Changed into the likeness of God. Changed into the glory of God. Changed into light. Darkness began to depart from him. Slowly and slowly. The next thing you know, one day, boom, it's completely light and he's gone. Whew, infused with God. God took him. But he started by him not just saying, oh, that was a wonderful story. You know, so I don't want anybody to go away from this room today and say, oh, that was a wonderful room. You know, that doesn't do any good. Get in with God. Use the effect of this thing and let it be a life-changing thing. Change your story. Change your prayer life. Change the power that you have with God. Good morning, everyone. Now we are going to pray. Father, I pray over this room. I release the mantle of prayer fire in the name of Jesus. Receive it and let's begin to pray. Now post in the chat, you know, what this means to you and how you are going to get your things from God. You're not going to be denied. Oh, no. You are going to go forth and you are going to get from the Lord, because now you know how to walk his praise. You know how to walk his glory. You know how to make it about his fight. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we love you. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. The violent are taking it by force. What is that force? It's the force of spiritual arms. They know the thing that moves heaven. They know the thing that moves the ordinances of heaven. It's not just physical violence. No. They know how to be spiritually violent, how to make God do things through their praise, through making it God's fight, through speaking to God in the heavens and causing God to do things upon the earth. Father, Lord, move upon the hearts of your people today in the name of Jesus. Now, I have some declarations that I want to make this morning. I want you to get in with me in prayer. Glory to God. Now, if you've received greatness and goodness from God, you've got nothing yet. God's got a whole lot more to give you from, you know, where that came from. I said yesterday, I said, look, it's like taking a bucket to the ocean. Take the bucket to the ocean and come back as many times as you want, you know, because he's got more where that came from. It's called the revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And he'll peel it back a little by little. He will peel it back. And he will be giving it to you a little by little. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So you can go there, get a little bit of revelation power. And you could go and get some more. But it's like the waters, you can never deplete it, you know. But what you've gotten this morning, let's use it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to begin to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to pray. Now, this is the hour of power. And we're praying the mantle. I'm speaking and declaring the mantle of prayer fire into everyone's lives. Prayer fire that can give you that kind of power with God that we have talked about today. So open your mouth and begin to pray. And if you are in the listening lounge, call it the VIP room, come to the stage, open your mic and pray with us. Or wherever you are, open your heart, open your mouth and pray. Remember, you have to say it. That's right. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, you've got to say it. You know, the word is so powerful. Romans chapter 10 says, look, you know, what do you do with the word of God? You know, he said, look, it's not something vain. It's not, oh, you know, who's going to go into the grave and raise Jesus up? He's no longer there. Oh, who's going to go to heaven and bring him down? No. The word of power is in your mouth. The word of power is in your mouth. So open your mouth and say it. You can say it. You can start by entering into his presence with thanksgiving. You can come into his courts with praise. You can tell him how great he is. How great he is. You know, and when we're trying to get God to really do something great, don't focus about, you know, the distress that you are in. You know, the distress is what, you know, got you there, but that's good. You know, that's the starting point. That's as far as it go. Transition into his greatness. That's right. The greatness of God will dwarf your distress any time of day. You know, just focus on his greatness and focus on telling him how great he is and focus on his power that is able to turn everything around for you. And then make it about his fight. Make it about him getting the glory. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in the room? You can type amen into the chat room. Amen. Now, those of you who are with me on this stage, I want you to on mic, open your mic and let's begin to pray.
That's right.
There's also some power when you pray in the spirit. Oh, glory to God. My goodness. It's so powerful. Someday I'll go more into that. We did about 2 days ago. You know, now begin to call upon his name and begin to tell him how great he is and begin to tell him how powerful he is, and there is nobody that can do these things other than him. He's the only one. He is the God, the very God. Hallelujah. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none like thee, O God. There is none that can save with a mighty hand. And you can save with few or with many. It makes you, Lord, no difference at all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise and we give you the glory here this morning. Lord, I pray with all of my heart this morning to thank you for the beauties of holiness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand the power of God this morning? Hallelujah. Psalm 110 and verse 3. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Glory to God. Do you understand the power of God this morning? Are you willing? Make me willing, Lord. I am willing. Make me willing, Lord. I am willing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, such as this, God will give you victory. Can you command the womb of the morning this morning? Can you lift up your voice on high? Cause your voice to be heard. Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Have you understood them? Jesus would say to the disciples, have you understood these things? Do you now understand this thing? Do you now know how to get the heavens to move on your behalf? Glory to God. Some people say, well, move heaven and earth. Well, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You know, by the praises of God, making his praise glorious, entering in before him and telling him how great and how powerful he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God.